desire your prayers this evening. Certainly thankful. I want to, when I was listening to the young people sing that song, that thrilled my soul. And just to think, the young people could be a lot of different places this evening, but they chose to be here, and I appreciate that. It's the future church, folks. So I desire your prayers this evening. I'm going to write the title on the board here. So I've written on the board perhaps a peculiar title, and I did not stutter. It is Burdens and Burdens. And don't be alarmed at the title. In fact, by the time we're through this evening with the Lord's help, I want us to be encouraged and challenged with some thoughts. But before we get into this, I want to lay a foundation and explain what burdens are. And there's some passages of scriptures we'll turn to here in a moment. But before we get to that, I want to ask a question. Have you ever had people try to disqualify the truth of the Bible? As in, they'll try to bring up so-called discrepancies that you can, what appears on the surface to be discrepancies in the Bible, but yet when you dig into them, you realize that they all actually coincide and back each other up from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. But they'll bring out, I've heard of people try to say, well, the Bible is just it's a book of fairy tales, or it's just a book of a lot of good words. There were some good people, but there's not much to it. And they'll try to discredit it because some things just don't make sense. It's like, as I mentioned earlier, things will contradict themselves. So, for instance, they'll bring up, there's a set of scriptures in Luke, the 14th chapter. We won't turn and read it. But it's Jesus talking about, for those that want to follow him, they must take up their cross and follow him. And he says, you must hate your father and mother. And on the surface, that sounds like, well, that's not good, because God is love. And what's he talking about, hating father and mother? I mean, they've done a lot for you. Well, what he's saying there is to love less, okay? And in other words, nothing can be ahead of God. God has to be your number one, your top supreme love of your life. And the scriptures back that up, all the way from the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament. So when you dig into that, you realize that no, God is the God of love is not saying you need to hate your father and mother. He's saying you have to love them less if you're going to follow Jesus all the way. You have to love God supremely. Everyone else comes second. So again, if you'll bear with me this evening, I want to lay a foundation here and give just a brief teaching session. And apologize to some of the folks from the Neosuan congregation. You've heard a little bit of this before. But the Lord has expounded some more thoughts to me, and I desire your prayers this evening. So I want to turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. And there's two verses I want to start off reading. I'll just read two verses to begin with. And then we'll go back and actually read verses 1 through 5 and break it down a little more in detail. So there's two verses that on the surface, they appear to contradict themselves, okay? So Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. All right? So, another verse. On down, verse 5, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So it sounds like, Apostle Paul, you're contradicting yourself. You're saying in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. We're there to help each other. And then verse 5, it says, actually, no, you just need to bear, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So on the surface, it sounds like he's contradicting himself. But he's not, okay? So, first of all, one good thing to do is take the scriptures that you're trying to study or discuss with someone or look into is consider the chapters and the verses surrounding those verses. So if you consider, first of all, the fifth chapter of Galatians. What is the fifth chapter? It's specifically the last part of the fifth chapter of Galatians. It's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, okay? And I'm not going to read all of those, but basically saying if you have the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit within you, there's going to be something coming out of your life, all right? And that means you're going to have the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, so on and so forth. That these are things that are going to manifest themselves if you have the Spirit of God within you, the Holy Spirit. So then it goes on into the sixth chapter. And we'll just start with verse 1 here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then it says, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the love of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So what Apostle Paul is doing here, there's these first three scriptures of the sixth chapter, is he's actually connecting the dots here, bringing in some verses from chapter 5, and saying, if you have the fruits of the Spirit, and they're being manifested in your life, you're going to find a way to help your fellow brother that is struggling with some things. In other words, you're going to find a way to exercise those fruits of the Spirit in helping their brother or sister in the Lord that is struggling, all right? Because it says here, verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. So what he's saying here is, use those that have offended the law of God, or those that have been taken in a fault. He's saying, show them some love and mercy and goodness, the fruits of the Spirit, and in the gentleness of God's Spirit, help restore them. In other words, lend a helping hand. Give them some mercy. Assist them, encourage them, pray for them. And so, again, what he's saying here, lest thou also be tempted. In verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because what Jesus did was this exact thing. When he saw someone struggling with something, and when they were overtaken with the fault, he was there to help them, not to crush them, okay? So that's what he's trying to teach this mindset, Apostle Paul here, to the ones in Galatia, is to teach them, you need to have mercy on those that need mercy. Those that are struggling, those that have been taken in a fault. And in verse 2 it says, bear ye one another's burdens. In verse 3 it says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. In other words, if you think you're too important to help someone else, you're only fooling yourself. Because you're really not that important. The bottom line is, we all need help, all right? At one point or another. And we've all had someone to step in there and encourage us, uplift us, and to lend us a hand, and to extend mercy to us and say, I want to help you. So now let's dig into this a little further. In verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. So this verse, and this word specifically, burdens, in this verse, if you look it up in the Greek, the Greek word is baros, which means weighted down with such a heavy and extreme load, nearly to drag you down and to crush you or to destroy you. And so I want to write that word on the board here on the left side. So on the left side, I have the Greek word baros, again, which means weighted down. Someone that feels crushed. And it's no wonder that in verse 1 it says, if any man be overtaken in a fault. You know, sometimes when a person is taken in a fault, they feel like, why did I do that? How did I get here? This is not where I wanted to be. Sometimes maybe they see it right away, sometimes they don't. But in general, they're feeling like, oh no, what does everyone else think? Or now what am I going to do? And so you can feel crushed and weighted down like, oh, is there any hope? How am I ever going to change? How am I ever going to get any better here? What am I going to do? So you can understand where someone that's found themselves in that position what Apostle Paul is saying here, those that are spiritual, those that have been in those places and God helped them overcome that, you go and help that person, all right? You seek them out. You extend a helping hand to them. You minister to them. You pray for them. Sometimes maybe you can't physically in body, but in spirit you can. You may hear about someone that's been taken in a fault. And you know what's easy to do sometimes? And the flesh is like, oh no, I figured that might happen, you know, and you just kind of leave it at that. No, folks, God would have us to pray for them, to extend mercy and compassion to them in the spirit. Even if we're not able to be with them in the flesh, we can pray for them, folks. We can extend mercy and compassion and long-suffering, all these fruits of the spirit, we can extend to them, say, Lord, have mercy. They're weighted down. They're feeling this baros right now, where they are very overwhelmed with this, and they don't know what to do, all right? So when we think of that, this word baros, you know, there's many examples of that. And sometimes a person finds themselves where it's even beyond finding themselves in a fault. Sometimes it happens where things happen unexpectedly to them that they didn't ask for. Take, for instance, the one that was beaten on the way to Jericho, and the good Samaritan came by and helped him. He was beaten up and robbed by the thieves. And the priest and the Levite, what did they do? They're like, oh no. They weren't extending help. They weren't practicing the fruits of the Spirit with the one that was in need, in much need. They went around the whole other side of the road. But the good Samaritan said, oh wait, this fellow pilgrim here is in need, and I'm going to help him. So that's an example of, again, someone finding themselves where they're helpless. There's nothing else they can do. And there's many other examples. Sometimes even a person that finds themselves in great grief over things that has happened in their lives, that they feel weighted down. They just feel oppressed. They feel lost. They feel such a void there. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to think. They don't know which way to go. And sometimes all it takes is someone coming alongside them and putting their arm around them and say, brother or sister, I'm praying for you. Because you don't know what that can do for somebody. And it's not just the action, but it's the meaning behind it. And it's the fact that you're taking action in your private prayers and you're praying for them. Lord, would you comfort them? Lord, would you minister to them? Because again, sometimes a person can feel so overwhelmed and can be overpowered with grief to where it's like they're paralyzed. Or they feel like the one that was beaten on the road to Jericho, and there's nothing, they're just totally helpless. And they need someone to come alongside them and say, I want to help you. I want to defend you. I want to encourage you. I want to prop you up here, all right? So that's exercising the fruits of the Spirit with someone that finds themselves in that situation. Because those are burdens sometimes that yes, on one hand, maybe you're overtaken in a fault and you cause your own hurt or your own harm. But other times, there's things you didn't ask for. Life just happens. And God has allowed it to happen, but he doesn't want us to feel crushed and feel alone. He wants us to feel loved and supported by God's people. Thank the Lord. All right, so that's the first few verses. Now I want to move to verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. So what Apostle Paul is doing here is he's instructing them how to work and how to be responsible. So this is a different type of burden. And to think of this, to pay attention and do your own work, not meddling in other people's business, so to speak. But when you do your own work, whether it's with your hands or in the spirit or whatever it is, then you'll get your own satisfaction for a job well done. And you won't be spending time comparing yourselves one to another. But beyond all of that, we all are responsible for our own conduct. Just think about that. We are all held responsible to God. Every man, the scripture says, every man will give an account for things that he said, for things that he's done in his body. So, thinking of this, I want to emphasize verse 5. We'll talk about this burden. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So this word in the Greek, burden, is phortion. And phortion means carrying your own daily load, like your own little backpack, your own cargo, your own daily responsibilities, things that we are held accountable to God. That, in other words, we all have our own souls. I can't save your soul. You can't save my soul. You can't be the Holy Spirit to me. I can't be the Holy Spirit to you. In other words, you know the struggles and the challenges you have in your life, and you have to work those things out with God. Yes, we can help one another, but ultimately, at the end of our lives, and we stand before the Lord and the judgment throne, I'm not standing there to judge you, and you're not standing there to judge you, to judge me, and I'm not standing there to give an account of what you did or what you didn't do. We all have to give an account for what we have done or what we haven't done, okay? So what this is saying is, we have to take personal responsibility for our daily conduct, the things we do, our personal little backpack, the daily load of things that God has given us, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they sinned, there were curses that were given to Adam and Eve. And so from then on, mankind has had to deal with those. We can't just sit at home and twiddle our thumbs for the rest of our lives. We have to be up and doing. And that's for many good reasons, okay? But the point is that we have a personal responsibility of the task and duties in our own lives. So I want to write that word on the board here, this Greek word, phortion. So when I wrote the two words, burdens and burdens, that's what I was referring to, was these two scriptures, and I'll write the scripture reference on that. I believe it was verse 5. So if you all bear with me here, we're getting down to some applications here in a moment. But an example of someone carrying their own, as it says, every man shall bear his own burden. For instance, when we are faced with challenges in life, things that maybe rub us the wrong direction, or things that cause us to doubt God, or that cause us personal struggles, for instance, like, you know, sometimes our feelings and emotions in a particular situation can really get us worked up. And the devil knows that if he can get us worked up to the point where we lash out at somebody, or we say or do something that is really not what God would have us to do. But the devil loves to play on our feelings and emotions. And what happens is we may feel a certain way, all right, or we perceive a certain thing, but that doesn't mean that those things are true. You see what I'm saying? Where the devil will twist things in our minds and think, well, so-and-so thinks this, or so-and-so, this happened because of so-and-so, and all these things, and I get all my feelings and emotions worked up, okay? But the fact of the matter is, we are responsible for how we act and react in those situations, okay? I'm responsible for my responses, all right? When my feelings and emotions go, you know, whatever, it's like, whoa, Lord, help me. And you are responsible for yours. In other words, that's your own burden. That's your own phortion, all right? That's your own daily backpack. Because the fact of the matter is, we all are different here tonight, okay? None of us are the same. We all are affected in different ways by circumstances, by things that people say or don't say, or how things happen to us in life. Or when we actually do fail and how we respond to those failures, everybody's a little different. But the point is, Apostle Paul is saying, you and I have our personal responsibilities to take that little backpack and say, you know what, Lord, I need some help. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray this situation through because the devil's getting me all worked up. And I don't like this. And I need your help. Lord, I need your peace. Lord, I need your joy again. Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom, discerning what is right and wrong here. Help me to dissect this situation and realize that the devil's actually just trying to work me up. You see how this works? That is your own burden. That is my own burden that we have to work through ourselves. And speaking of which, you know what the scripture says? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, don't go off on yourself. Again, you have to take the whole verse, not just the first part. Work out your own salvation. Some people love that. They're like, oh, great, I get to do whatever I want to do. That's not the point, folks. With fear and trembling. That means in true reverence for God and who he is and the truth of his word and what he's holding myself accountable for. Oh, Lord, you know how much I know and understand. You realize that? God knows the level of understanding of everybody in this room. And some people, he's going to hold more accountable because they've heard more truth and have more truth explained to them and lived before them than someone else that has had just a small little window. So they're going to be held more accountable at this time than someone that's just a new babe in Christ that has very limited understanding. But the point is, they both have to work out their own salvation when they're met with adversity. And those feelings and emotions that go up and down, say, oh, Lord, help me through this, all right? So, in covering some of this, what happens is, when we realize that these two verses actually don't contradict each other, they actually work together, okay? Because what happens is, when you do this, it actually works as... It fulfills the law of Christ, okay? It fulfills everything that Jesus taught. He taught us to love one another, all right? To bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, to help our fallen brother or to help our struggling brother or sister or the one that's feeling crushed and weighted down with everything that sometimes maybe it was self-inflicted, sometimes it wasn't. But the bottom line is, when we realize that person is struggling just as Jesus did, when he saw some struggling, and we're going to get to an example of this here in a little bit, he reached out and he helped them. He did not ignore them. He didn't allow them to feel crushed and stay crushed. He offered them hope. In other words, he offered them to help them out of that situation. All right? Give them something to hang on to bring them out of that moment of despair. All right? But again, the other part, every man shall bear his own burdens. That's also, again, it is our personal responsibility to exercise the fruits of the Spirit to all of those. And you know what? Sometimes that's even with ourselves. Do you realize sometimes it's easier to be gentle with someone else than with yourself? Think about that for a little bit. Do you realize sometimes people can forgive others quicker than they can forgive themselves for something that they've done? But you know, God doesn't want us to be weighted down with that extra guilt and shame and just harbor that and say, oh, I can never forget, I can never get over that. I'll never get over what I did or said or didn't do. No, the Lord doesn't want us to continue carrying that burden, all right? That baros, something that just is overwhelmingly crushing us, he's saying, that's not meant for you to carry. Jesus says, I want to carry that for you. I want to lift that burden off of you, okay? So, I want to talk about an example in the scriptures here, and I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I'm just going to tell the story, and you all know it well. But I want to talk about Peter. You know, Peter has been used many times. Bless his heart. He is a wonderful example of what God can do with somebody. And you know, quite honestly, all of us have been a Peter at some, to some extent. I'm confident of that, okay? And so we can relate to Peter. Some maybe more than others, but yet we can all relate to Peter. And let me give you an example. Remember in the night of the crucifixion, and Peter was so bold to tell Jesus, "Oh, I'm not going to deny you. I promise." But what happened? Before the night was over, he denied him three times. And you remember what happened after that third time? And one of the Gospels explains this. The rooster crowed, and Peter's like, "Oh, that's exactly what the master said." And he turns, and Jesus' eyes and Peter's eyes met. Jesus didn't say anything. He just looked at him. Oh, folks, that just melted Peter. He's like, "Oh, I did exactly what I said I wouldn't do." He failed. There was a fault there. And Jesus could have. Because after that, Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. You know what that means? He had true remorse for what he did. It wasn't just an immediate sense of guilt. That was part of it too. But it was true remorse. It's like, "Oh, I didn't want to do that. And I'm so sorry." He didn't maybe tell Jesus that in the flesh at that time. But when he went and wept bitterly, you know what I'm confident he was doing? He was praying, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to do this. Please help me." And when you contrast that to Judas Iscariot, you know what he did? After he sold Jesus, Judas took his own life. He was crushed with that burden. The first burden here, the Barros. He was crushed by that. That wasn't Jesus' plan. Jesus had something to offer him, but he didn't give the opportunity. But Peter gave the opportunity because he went out and wept bitterly and prayed earnestly, "Oh Lord, please forgive me." And Jesus sensed that and he saw that in Peter. And Jesus is thinking, "I can work with that." You know, folks, we can have that same spirit of Peter. That yes, maybe we have been taken in a fault. Maybe we've had a failure. But folks, don't allow Satan to crush you to the extent of Judas Iscariot. Folks, we have something to live for. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And Jesus is saying, "I see you, I hear that. And I have something for you, Peter." And some days later, we'll talk about that here in a little bit, Jesus had another message for Peter. But at that time, he was allowing Peter to feel the weight of that, but he didn't want him to feel it so long it would crush him, because Jesus wanted to minister to him, and Jesus offered him something far greater than what Peter had had before. So, that was the first phase of Peter in that issue. But it was some days after that, after the resurrection, and this can all be found in St. John, the 21st chapter, I think it is. It goes, and we're not going to read these scriptures, we're just going to paraphrase what happened there. But what I love about this story is, folks, this is a message of hope. Because when I wrote these two words, burdens and burdens, you know, sometimes the devil just loves to blurt those words out to us and repeat them over in our minds and think, "Burdens, burdens, burdens. I have so many burdens. I don't know what to do with all these burdens." And you feel overwhelmed. The devil loves that. But when we dissect it down and understand what Apostle Paul was teaching and understand what Jesus was practicing, all right, Jesus was practicing the fruits of the Spirit. He exercised that bateros, or helping Peter with the baros, the things that was overwhelming him and crushing him. Jesus demonstrated that for our example, that we might learn from that, that we might practice the same mercy that Jesus extended to Peter there, okay? But notice in the 21st chapter of John, we're not going to read all this. We'll just paraphrase some of what happened here. But after the resurrection, Peter, as well as the rest of the disciples, they were rather disappointed with how this turned out. They were looking forward to something amazing immediately. You understand this? They just thought, "Well, Jesus is going to set up the kingdom here, and we're going to be part of this kingdom, and we're going to rule with him, and we're going to have some power and authority." Yes, but not in the fleshly sense. They were looking out all in a carnal sense. And Jesus is thinking the whole time, oh, you guys, you don't understand what, I'm going to give you power and authority in the Spirit over self and over sin, because it has dominion over mankind. He's like, I want to give you power and authority over those things, that you can reign on this earth now, okay? So, in this incident, after these things, it says, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. I believe this is the third time. This is before Jesus was ascended. So this is just not too many days after his resurrection. Jesus appeared to Peter and those that were fishing. But before that happened, notice what Peter said. Peter said unto them, to his fishing buddies there, he's like, guys, I don't know what else to do here. I'm just going to go fishing. Now let's understand this. Peter was used to being an active man. So you could say in one sense, he was trying to be responsible and to carry his daily backpack and to carry his burden, the fortion over here, okay? He wanted to do something. He's like, well, I can fish. That's what I did before. I'm going to go back to fishing again. Jesus called him from that, and he dropped the nets, and he left, and he was following Jesus and working with Jesus. But then after Jesus was gone, Peter's like, I don't know what else to do, but I'm just going to go fishing. You know, God didn't thunder down and, like, explode his boat right there in the middle of the water and say, no, you're not going fishing. No, 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 stop, stop. Get away from that. No, God allowed him to go out there and start fishing. Jesus allowed that to take place. But, you know, Jesus hadn't forgotten just some days prior to that, that incident when Peter denied him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus hadn't forgot that. Jesus noticed something there, a sincerity, an honesty, an openness before God that he wanted to do what was right. But he was struggling with some things there. And folks, again, he was struggling with some more things here. He was, you could say in some ways, he was despondent. He was fearful. He was confused. He felt lost. So many things, he didn't know what to do. He's like, well, I can go fishing. But Jesus had another job for him. But what I love about this story is he allowed Peter to go out in the boat with the others with him there, and he allowed them to fail. They couldn't catch any fish. And Jesus said, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. Jesus is on the shore, and he's calling out to them. They're out there in the water on the boat. Jesus knew, but he was just checking, just to see what they would respond. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find them. You know, Peter was a professional fisherman. And he could have said, no, I know what I'm doing. But you know what I love about this? Peter obeyed. Because it's like, he was struggling. It's like, okay, I'll do that. And when he obeyed and he cast his nets on the other side, they were full of fishes, not able to bring it up totally. And what I love about this story too is it doesn't end there. You know, Jesus started preparing a meal for them at the shore. Jesus knew they were tired and weary, struggling. They weren't catching the fish, and finally they catch some fish. But Jesus provided a meal, some bread and some fishes that he cooked there. He said, bring the fish which ye have now caught. And anyway, so they had the little meal there. And Jesus said, come and dine. And what I love about this story is Jesus didn't sit there and scold Peter for what he did. He didn't say, Peter, why did you go out there and go fishing? No, Jesus actually spoke to the issue. And that's what I love about the Lord, is the Lord knows our hearts, folks. He knew Peter's heart. that he was overwhelmed with some things. When he denied Christ there, he failed. He was overwhelmed with things at that point. And then here again, Jesus wasn't there and says, I'm just going to go fishing. He was overwhelmed again and had all kinds of fears and doubts and so on and so forth. Feelings and emotions were going just every which direction. He was feeling lost. And he was trying to do his best. I'm just going to take my little backpack. I remember I fished before. I'm going to go fishing again. But notice what Jesus said here. I love this part. He said, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And he continued that dialogue for three times. What Jesus was saying here is, I want to truly make you fishers of men. You're going back to being the fisherman Peter. He's like, I want to make you fishers of men. Feed my sheep. In other words, he's saying, I have a new responsibility for you here, Peter. This fortion, what I'm going to hold you accountable for, all right, to bear your own burden here. This is for you, Peter. He wasn't speaking to anyone else at this time. He was speaking directly to Peter. He's like, I have something for you. Oh, Lord, you know, isn't it wonderful that God knows what we can handle? And God knows our hearts and our desires. And God knows how to help us to get to that point. Because this process that Peter was going through, it was leading up to something even greater than just catching all these fishes in this net. All this fish in the net. That was great. That was wonderful. That was an impressive miracle there. But that was just the foreshadowing of what Jesus was wanting to do with Peter. And that's why he said, I want you to feed my sheep. In other words, you're going to catch some more fish like this someday. More than you can imagine. And you know what? That exact same thing happened days later on the day of Pentecost. When who was it? One of the many that got up. But Peter got up and started preaching the gospel with power and authority. Folks, that was harvesting some fish. Because several souls were saved that day. And the church continued to grow after that. But he was willing to use a failure, a dirty, old, stinky, in some ways, not very learned fisherman, Peter? Yes. Because Peter was laying himself aside. He was taking up his cross and following Jesus. He was loving everything else, and himself included, less. He was loving God supremely. Okay? And that's what the road he was willing to take. And when he chose to take that road, Jesus was taking the brunt of all of these burdens. In other words, he's saying, Peter, you're not going to have to go out and go fishing all the time like you thought. I will provide for you. You still have to be busy and doing the things I tell you to do. You can't sit at home and twiddle your thumbs. You have work to do, but this is your new work, your new calling, to feed my sheep. Isn't that amazing how God, and this was for Peter. I'm not saying this is for everyone here tonight. But my point is, we all have a job to do. God wants to keep us all busy in his kingdom. Whatever it may be. But at the underlying theme of this is that we bear one another's burdens. That we do this together. That we're here to encourage one another. You know, that's what's so wonderful about these camp meetings. This is the close of what I've been hearing and the part I've been able to experience, a wonderful meeting. And the year 2023 is fixing to come to a close here in a little over 2 hours. So what I want us to understand here tonight is sometimes the burdens can stack up. And I want us to understand the message of the gospel is hope, folks. Because sometimes we know the things that we're supposed to do. Just like Peter, he knew. But yet, he came up short. But yet, God didn't give up on him. Because Peter didn't give up on himself either. You see what I'm saying? He found room to forgive himself. and not allow Satan to crush him to where there was no hope. He kept running to the Lord. He went out and wept bitterly. He went out to the boat. He was fishing, but he obeyed Jesus from the shore. Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side. He could have rebelled. He could have went another direction. Like, I'm going to do my own thing. Oh, no, he was still tender towards the Lord. Oh, isn't that wonderful to think about here tonight? That Jesus, and the scripture, I believe in the Old Testament, talks about walking about throughout the earth to find those whose heart is perfect towards him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God is seeking an open, honest heart that is trying to live for the Lord. In the midst of the burdens here, and they're saying, Lord, I need something here. Just like Peter, he realized he needed something beyond what he had. And Jesus met him there, and he gave that to him. But tonight, perhaps this can apply to somebody. Realize that, well, we're still on this side of eternity. There's still time and there's still hope. Yes, the end of 2023 is almost here. But folks, there's a new year coming, all right? And it was already mentioned today that the Lord can give us a fresh, clean slate. That maybe we have to start over on some things. Or maybe we have to start afresh in whatever situation we find ourselves, just as Peter did. But Jesus didn't give up on Peter. And as I mentioned, Peter didn't give up on himself either. And so when we think about this here tonight, maybe you found that the burdens have piled up on you. That doesn't have to mean that this is the end, folks. In fact, it can mean the opposite of that. It can be the beginning of a wonderful journey with Jesus. Just as Apostle Peter experienced, it was the beginning of a wonderful journey. That day when he was out on the boat and he said, I'm just going to go fishing, Jesus started a journey there with Peter. And oh, it ended so wondrously, because the end of Peter's life, he lived many years and actually wrote a couple of books in the Bible and was an inspiration to many, continued to preach the gospel, and he was ultimately martyred for Christ. But to think that at one point Satan almost had him crushed, but he didn't. Because he continued going back to the Lord and submitting himself to him. And thinking of this, folks, it's up to us to give opportunity for Jesus to meet us where we are at. And for us to obey his call. And for us to listen to what he's trying to tell us. And the scripture in Matthew, the 11th chapter, a very familiar scripture. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What Jesus did for Peter, Peter was laboring. He had these burdens, and he thought he had some of these things figured out, but yet it didn't. It didn't turn out like he had hoped, like he had dreamed. But Jesus is saying, Peter, I have something greater for you, but you have to come to me, all right? And ultimately, because he said, Peter, come and dine. I have something prepared for you, some wonderful, nutritious food. You know, folks, Jesus has some wonderfully spiritually nutritious things for us to feast on. Things to sustain us throughout this next year of 2024. And he has a message for us too. He told Peter, this was for Peter. He said, feed my sheep. But Jesus may have a different type of message for you. It may be as simple as forgive yourself. Or it may be as simple as try again. Or maybe as simple as don't quit. Or maybe as simple as pray more or praise more. Or just simple little things like that. But what I'm saying here this evening is God and Jesus has a message for all of us that we get a hold of, that we can take with us through this next year. But it takes us listening, as Peter did. He listened to Jesus saying, cast your nets on the other side. You're struggling so hard for these other things, and it may be as simple as changing one little thing. But we have to be listening for Jesus. He says, why don't you just try this? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus wants to do that for us. And when we try that, it's like, oh, it works. He's like, okay, you took that step. Now I have another little baby step for you, so to speak. Come and dine. All right, so I'm going to come eat. And then isn't that amazing how Jesus does that sometimes, where he'll get us satisfied in the situation we're at, and he meets our needs, and he's like, now I have another message for you. Feed my sheep, Peter. And so when the Lord speaks to us privately, sometimes collectively, in a setting like this, but so many times it's privately, when we go home from this meeting and we start the year 2024, be open to what Jesus has been speaking to you about and say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Lord, I want whatever you're asking me. Lord, I want to do what is right. Lord, I want to do more for you. Lord, I want to exercise these fruits of the Spirit that I may extend gentleness and kindness and mercy to someone else in my life, because at some point I may need it as well. And that's how this works, the beautiful picture of God's church. And Peter extended the beautiful picture of God's church, where he went out and he obeyed and he was willing to feed the sheep. So the call goes for us here tonight, and we start this new year. Let's not allow Satan to tell us a lie. Then we found ourselves with burdens and burdens and burdens and burdens stacked, that the devil's going to tell us there's no hope. Why keep trying? Folks, you could end up like Judas Iscariot. But dear ones, we make up our mind and we follow the pattern of Peter. He says, yes, there's some burdens there. But as Apostle Paul also said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark. I'm pressing forward to what you have in store for me, Lord. Some more victories, some more deliverances, and some more burdens being lifted. And then ultimately, as he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Jesus said, I will give you rest. What a beautiful picture that we all can have that rest. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to him.